Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
Aren't we all in cages, though, in a sense?
And the Bulldog.
Are we sure God's working harder than Satan? He might just have a better coach.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Before we get back to Josh Allen's first NFL start, another word on Willie Totten's first NFL start.
Okay.
Totten, one of 13 quarterbacks to make their first NFL start for the Bills between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen. Pretty cool list. Totten is one of three to do so in consecutive weeks during the 1987 strike. He went in relief in the first strike game, which was the Colts beating the Bills 47-6. I mean, it's just fun history. Difficult for guys at the time, but fun history. And then he started their second strike game in New England. The Bills lost 14-7. He threw a touchdown pass. It might have been the only touchdown the Bills scored in all three strike games. And I told you how Mark Dalton was texting from Arizona with, like, are you sure about this list? It's pretty good. And I'm like, yeah, I think I am. And he capitulated. He's like, okay, I think you might have this.
Yeah.
And then he said, look up, and I haven't done this yet, but I'm assuming it's right. He said he thinks Willie Totten holds the Bills record for most fumbles in a game and second place. And those were the only two games of his career.
One of which he didn't start.
One of which he didn't start.
He came in relief.
So the Pro Football Reference boxes are not as thorough 30 years ago. But if you look up his career stats, it's two games and he fumbled 9 times.
Oh, my God. Wow.
How do you fumble 9 times?
I don't know.
In two games?
That is, I don't know. How do you throw 5 interceptions in a single half?
It's happened.
Yeah. Prior to last November, it had never happened in an NFL game, but it happened last November. 9 fumbles in 2 games, and not even in entire 2 games. Wow. That's pretty good.
9 fumbles, 3 of which he recovered. So Mark, it must be like 5-4 or 6-3. Like somebody else would have fumbled 3 times.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So maybe it's 5-4 in the 2 games. First place and second place. You got to find out about
what
that now.
What a nugget that is. That is great.
That is great. Football Friday on WGR. Very exciting. We'll have picks later. We'll have our roundtable today, too. Sal will be here. More of your calls coming up. And Tops will stop by. They're bringing pork enchilada chili and cookie pizza. I'm curious about this cookie pizza. Is it more cookie or pizza? We'll find out. Tops stopping by to show off some tailgating ideas, party ideas, for perhaps for you for the game Sunday. Don't forget, save time and have your groceries delivered right to your door when you shop online at topsmarkets.com.
I'm going with 100% cookie. It's 100%. There's, I mean, what are you going to do, put some sauce on it? I mean, it's 100% cookie.
The crust is just a chocolate chip cookie?
Sure.
And yeah, then it's probably not that.
There's some frosting and fillings maybe. But
I mean, there's not green peppers on it?
No,
probably
yeah,
not. No.
Steak or...
Right, right. 4 kinds of cheese.
3 cheese. three cheese cookie pizza.
Cookie. Oh, God, I just threw up in my mouth.
Tops is not making that. I want to make that clear. We don't expect that to be the case.
Oh, God.
Something I might make, mistakenly.
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
James is on WGR. Hello, James.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
One, you're feeling, would you guys, how you feel if Josh Allen had the same stats as almost like Darnold had this past week? Not saying they win, but it was like 16 for 21, 198 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick.
Sure.
Would you say that would be?
Yes. Yes. That would pass for me.
Darnold got good reviews.
Yeah, I mean that would be positive to me. The bar is extremely low for me. As I'm not everybody, but I'm just telling, like, I just don't want to go on the air after the game going, oh my God, what was that? That's what I want to avoid. And 16 for 21 for 198, 2 scores and a pick, even if it was a pick 6 on his first throw, fine. Plenty good.
I feel like the Jets made it. They really made the offense seem, maybe Detroit was that bad, but it just seemed like the offensive coordinator and everything, maybe they got a better line, but it just seemed like they really, really didn't put them in bad situations.
I don't know. Somebody told us that they thought that yesterday too. I have no opinion on that. He had an erratic game, but the kind of game that makes sense for a guy playing his first game in the league, and that generally people would accept from him. And they won by 20 plus points, by the way, too. So I don't know if the coordinator deserves the credit, but he did not embarrass himself, to say the least, Sam Darnold. Thank you, James. Here is Russ next. Hello, Russ.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic. Thanks for calling.
Okay. I know it's probably been, you know, spoken about a million times. I live out here in Jersey. It's the Bills fan. Joe Cribbs is my first favorite player. Goes back a while. I know you have a low bar, and I don't know how low you go, but I'm going pretty low. You know, I don't understand. I know people say, well, you have to start the guy. You have to throw him in there. Let's get his feet wet. Look at Peyton Manning, and they'll bring up Troy Aikman, and look at what these guys did in their first year. My problem with all that is, take Peyton Manning's first year. Yeah, he threw a million interceptions, but he gained from the first year, and he felt confident. He went up through about 25 touchdown passes. He was fourth or fifth in the league in throwing touchdowns. So he came off that season saying, listen, I can play in this league. I did a lot good, and I did a lot bad, and I'm going to have to improve to be where I, you know, to get better. I just feel throwing this guy with no offensive line, okay, with, you know, very little weapons on the offensive side. He's going to be on the ground half the game. I don't know what he gains from it. I really don't. I don't know when you put him in, but the bottom line is, he's going to really come out. He's going to be, like I said, I think he's going to be laying on the ground half the time. And it's what is there to gain from throwing him in there with this offensive team? It's a big problem.
The same thing that teams think they have to gain every time, almost every time they put a high draft pick quarterback on the field, which is, it's unusual when a team doesn't do that very soon after drafting him, and most of those teams are bad. The same things. They're probably not stocked at offensive line or stacked at offensive line. They're probably not loaded with talent. They're bad. Just like the Rams were, just like the Eagles were, just like all these other teams were. Houston, so on, that didn't have a good team. That's how they drafted these guys. That's how they were in position to draft these guys in most cases. So they put them on the field. That's what's to gain. This is hypothetical. You're asking a hypothetical question. What is there to gain? In my opinion, a lot. A lot. Experience. Confidence. Who knows what? I'm all for it. And they do not, like it or not, and this is not the same question, this is not answering the same question, they have no other plausible option.
Right. That's why you do it now. I was all for taking your time with him. I don't think every guy is created equal. Every prospect is created equal. And a guy who comes lightly recruited by Division I school, so much so that he played junior college, zero-star recruit, like not even a highly decorated college player, someone that reads and looks like he's going to need some time to learn how to play at the very highest level in the best league in his sport in the world. Okay, I can listen to we're going to go slow with this. And I was respecting that. They have no choice now. Why are they playing him? Because they traded A.J. McCarron and believe that Allen was at least good enough and ready enough to be one sprained ankle away from going in and playing. As it turned out, it wasn't a sprained ankle. It was, you know, just a horrendous performance again by the guy who was ahead of him on the depth chart. So, you know, they think he's ready enough that they left themselves no safety net. And I'm going to, just as I respected the idea of going slow with him, I'm going to respect the notion of them feeling like he's close enough to be there. So, you know, here we go.
Yep. And my thinking additionally is Peterman should not be on the roster anymore. I don't like the idea of being threatened with or by another potential Nathan Peterman start. There's no good reason for it. He had two chances in separate seasons to not completely embarrass himself and failed in both cases. So there is a, at least compared with him, a very respectable. I mean, there are plenty of options that, I mean, outrank Nathan Peterman. All you really need is someone comparable, whatever that could mean. You bring in instead to replace him with, especially if you end up in a position, well, if there's an injury that does it for you, you end up in a position where you think Allen might be better off not playing or it's just going too badly. I'm not really thinking that way. I'm not really even that open to that kind of a thing because I think all of it is good and adversity is, uh-huh. As I told the caller, is pretty much to be expected with these quarterbacks on the teams that draft them. But I'd like to have another option that is not that.
Yeah.
And there is no such option on this roster right now. So if I were the Bills, I would have done that already. Sorry, Nate, it went really badly. Mm-hmm. This is the real world. You're out. I mean, why should that not have happened yet?
No, I don't have a good answer for that at all. You brought it up on Monday, and I agreed then, and I agree now. I also think once you put Allen in, barring injury, I mean, I guess I should try to maintain some level of flexibility on this, but you definitely don't want to take him out. And I think you probably shouldn't. You've decided he's ready enough. You've put him in. Now, recognizing how wrong you were about Peterman being your best option for week one, you could be way wrong on how ready he is. And I mean, it could just be horrible. Like that's an option on the board for what happens on Sunday. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be I'm not really trying to dwell on it. Just presenting it as a possibility. I mean, consider how blown to bits this Peterman notion got. They could have judged this Allen thing horribly too. So, but all that said, he's in. He's your guy. It goes terribly this week. He plays next week in Minnesota. I mean, I think that's where you are now.
Minnesota. Savior, don't pick the Vikings in Survivor. Not that you would at Lambeau, but holy cow, man, that ought to be interesting.
Yep.
Jeremy, you seen this flowchart somebody made?
Yes.
Has he been talking about this?
I don't know. I've not heard their show this week. Just a few minutes here and there, so I don't know.
Jeremy, I think, made what amounts to like a Josh Allen call flowchart.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen playing phone call flowchart.
I noticed it sitting there the other day.
And like, so this caller, Russ, mentioned Peyton Manning throwing interceptions and touchdowns. Whatever. Point out, and on here it is point out Peyton Manning. Like interceptions or rookie season, right? Point out Peyton Manning. And the arrow after that on here is this line will get Allen killed. And that's exactly what this call. It's almost like he called their show.
Right.
Which obviously could have happened. But
yep.
The guy perfectly fell into this flowchart.
Right.
And if it goes the way this says, the next person will mention Troy Aikman.
Right.
Joe is on WGR. Hello, Joe.
Hello, guys. Love the show. Very entertaining.
Thanks.
Thank you. We like doing it a lot.
So wanted to make two points. I think the defense is what I want to see the market improved. I want to see the most improved this weekend. And I think it's the one thing in talking about the safety of the coaching staff, and namely Sean McDermott, if this year goes poorly for the defense, I think it's the one thing that could shake Pegula's confidence in him. In that we don't really know which quarterback they were hoping to get in the draft. They got Allen. We think it was Allen, but maybe it wasn't. And you could make the argument that whatever happens with the offense, it's a crapshoot right now with the talent on the team and a rookie quarterback. But the defense we expected to be good, especially when McDermott made some bold moves by bringing in Murphy, getting rid of Darius last year, bringing in Latulale, spending some money in that arena. So I think that's the one thing to watch out for him.
And they moved up in the draft to draft their middle linebacker, too.
Exactly.
None of those guys, with due respect, and this doesn't have to have been unanimous, but to my eyes, as I read up on those moves as they were being made, none of those moves was a move where, like, how do I want to describe this crowd of analysts? Like, the Bill Barnwell wing of football analysis, like, none of those moves was thought of as a good move. Lotulelei included, Vontae Davis included, not necessarily Edmonds. Like, people will tell you he should be good, but then it's more of like a trade value analysis. And Murphy came here as what? Like a guy who has been
the rehab
sitting.
Project, really.
Yeah, so like none of those moves was, to my eyes, like expected to go well. And, you know, your point seems to be the owner is going to need it to go well, and I don't disagree with you. Like, I don't know different.
Yeah.
But I'm not. When you say we expected the defense to be good, don't include me.
Action, you know, from the first game, the callers calling in this week upset with McDermott or maybe not believing in trust the process. I think there's a fear, you know, for a lack of a better term, with having the drought, there, you know, there's this fear that what if we were duped last year? What if the getting rid of a good player like Sammy Watkins, getting rid of Darius, this idea of culture, and then having that piggyback a very lucky route into the playoffs has blown up with the first week and the defense being so poor and not having a lot of good talented players on offense. There's that fear that, okay, what if this is not reality and it was just the way the coins dropped and last year we got in, but really there isn't this culture shift. And we've got to kind of experimenting with Peterman, experimenting with the defense, doesn't really know.
Joe, that's exactly how I feel about this. That's exactly how I look at this. And the key may be, as far as McDermott's future is concerned, the key may be, what does the owner believe?
Mm-hmm.
Does he think they were lucky? Does he think they were good? You know? Does he think culture is how you win in pro sports in the 21st century because guys are on time and stuff? Or does he think, like, you actually have to have talent, like the guys the Bills traded away for draft picks? Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm stretching the point, but how you described it, maybe people are sort of feeling like they were, like, it was a mirage. I totally have felt that the whole time. Like, it very well could have been. And this year, that game did not surprise me. So, I don't know. That'll come down to what ownership thinks of what has happened and what they think of McDermott and how much confidence do they have in it turning back around,
mm-hmm,
and what the fans sound like,
yep,
you know, as this plays out.
I think the quarterback thing is obviously the thing. I will say that. I've been saying that for 15 years in here. Like, these coaches, whoever they are, they come and go, and the opportunity they have to stay the longest is if the guy they decide to hitch their wagon to at quarterback turns out to be good. And that gives you the best look. It's not foolproof, but it gives you the best look at establishing roots and being in a job for a long time. So I think Allen is the thing far and away that matters. While that is unfolding, and I say it this way because I don't think we might, the fans might, reach a final answer on Allen. Maybe reach a final answer on him by Halloween. It's just how it goes. That won't make it right. I doubt the organization does. I doubt Terry Pegula does reach a final answer on whether Josh Allen was a good or bad idea. So I think McDermott has some wiggle room there into next year. If the defense, regardless of what Bill Barnwell thought about it, McDermott spent $50 million on Star Lotulelei. He spent $8 million on Vontae Davis. They gave Trent Murphy some money. And those moves were made with an eye towards, these are my guys, this is the kind of guys I want that I need to put my defense on the field. And yes, Edmonds is at the very center of that. If this defense can't stop the Baltimore Ravens, and that's a precursor of what this season is going to look like, that's a huge hit on McDermott. He's a defensive coach. He went and got his linebacker to play his style of defense. And no, it's not a finished unit over there, but they got a lot of credit for having a secondary that was in great shape and would be the strength of the team, and they couldn't cover anybody last week. So I think he's to be judged, and maybe harshly, if this defense doesn't perform this year.
Mm-hmm. And as far as Lotulelei goes, by the way, I think Pro Football Focus is right there for what I saw, thinking about like, mm-hmm, analysis of him and his recent years when the Bills signed him, because he wasn't a guy I'd ever thought about before the Bills signed him. 803-0550. Sports next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with our roundtable. Sal Capaccio coming your way.
I mean, he's a really smart player already. Great rookie. I think he's prepared to come in and, you know, learn how to be a pro. He's taking that approach. He learns, execute every day. He learns something new. I think about reading the defense. You know, you can tell that he's just growing as a quarterback. He has a great arm. You know, he's a great leader. He's just a great guy to be in a position to come out and, you know, try to lead the team and get a victory.
Marcus Murphy on WGR today talking about Josh Allen. Sounds like he's very high on him. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. I saw the cookie pizza from Tops.
Oh, you did?
No green peppers. No, it's...
No four cheeses.
No, it's strawberries and blueberries.
All right.
On top.
That sounds good.
We'll be going out there in about 11 minutes to do a Facebook Live segment with Tops. They also have that pork enchilada chili out there, so they want us to try things and talk about them.
All right.
And we are happy to do that.
We are. I hope I don't end up getting any pork enchilada chili nor cookie pizza in my beard while we're on Facebook Live. That is my biggest fear right now.
It might be a good show, a good act if I put some there.
Right. It is quite a crumb catcher I've got going here. So stuff does land in there from time to time.
I bet. Here is Patrick with us next on WGR. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, afternoon. I flew in from South Carolina originally from there and bought tickets and airplane tickets after week two of preseason. And so Sunday, with Josh Allen starting, it's already a good Sunday. Thank God. I was petrified that I was coming up to see Peterman play. I've had no faith in him ever. And thank God. So I really appreciate your guys' outlook on Peterman, too. He just needs to go. But I mean, I'm so excited about Allen starting. And, got faith in the kid. He's a big, strong kid. He's going to do well.
So you bought these tickets for this game and the plane tickets after seeing Allen play well against Cleveland in the second preseason game, presuming that or hoping that he would be the Bills quarterback by the time this game rolled around.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and thank God he is. So.
Yeah. Also, you might have got out of the hurricane by this plan.
Yeah.
That too. We came in early because of the weather. So.
Yeah, good.
And the food. Missed the food.
Good luck. Have you heard anything about, like, your hometown or anything?
We're in the Hilton Head area, so it's, you know, way down south. So we're really fortunate, thank God, because we went through that bad hurricane 2 years ago, Matthew, and so we're in good shape. So God bless the people in Wilmington and that area. They're getting devastated.
Thanks for being on, Patrick. Enjoy your weekend up here. Let's go to Matt next. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. I was kind of thinking about the whole situation with fans' reaction to week one here in kind of a little more zoomed out way. You know, the drought is such a like shared part of like the experience of being a Bills fan, like our common psychology here for the last, you know, going on nearly two decades. And I think probably, at least I thought, or have thought at various times, and I imagine lots of fans have felt that like when it was over, it would mean something more besides just that it was over. You know, that it would mean that something new was going to happen. Okay, we're going to be good now.
Mm-hmm.
We've arrived. As soon as the draft is over, we'll have our quarterback and we'll have our coach and we'll be set and we can sort of kick our heels up and relax.
Right.
It's kind of ironic, too, because the Bills, throughout the drought, were never really that far. You know, they were never the worst team. They were always pretty close to making the playoffs with quarterbacks who were probably never going to be the long-term answer anyway.
That's right.
So it's kind of funny that now I think it's had this, I don't know, I sense a kind of difference of vibe about McDermott because of that. I feel like, to Jeremy's point about the coaches to be fired poll, it makes sense to me that, you know, that ownership would feel that they've got something off their back and that gives McDermott some more rope. But I think fans, you know, in a weird way, they are more impatient now than they would have been because they're like, all right, well, we won the drought. Surely we should be good. This is who we are now. Nathan Peterman, yeah, let's do it.
Well, this is all very logical, and I am following you every step of the way. That remains to be seen, that part. I mean, the first week was super jarring to people who were thinking the way you're describing fans to be thinking.
Yes.
Maybe it's not that, or maybe we see it play out a different way, but you know, I think it would be naive if you're describing fans that I would call naive. Like, if you looked at the real numbers, that team wasn't really any better than any of the previous 3 years' teams. But they got in. Cincinnati.
Right.
So what you're saying is, like, that will mean a lot, and maybe even subconsciously fans are going to end up in a different place because of it. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, I think it certainly would describe, I think, some portion of the fan base. I think Allen entering now tempers that and changes that, because, like, Peterman being in the way of Allen in some way, even though he's hardly some kind of a long-bearded, grizzled, established veteran, was, well, we're not going to play the kid, so there must be trying to win. And now that that's over, at least for now, and hopefully permanently, I think most fans, the majority of fans, I would say, my sense is, look at a rookie quarterback going in and go, like, okay, like, Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate last year. His first year was uneven, and that's to be expected with almost any rookie quarterback going in, regardless of the talent around him, almost. So I think that gives McDermott, provided Allen at least gives you some hope, I think that really gets McDermott to a more stable place. The scenario where it gets really ugly around here is if Allen is sideways right away and never gets headed in the right direction, then I think McDermott is in line to get a lot of heat.
Okay, Matt. Thanks. Good assessment. Are you facing AJ Green in your league? Our league?
I have not looked at my matchup.
You know what? You're not.
Okay. You know that because you are.
I have AJ Green.
Okay, well, I'm not playing you then. I don't even know who I'm playing. Honestly, I've just been focused on getting ready. Being the best I can be and defending our dirt.
That's what you're really only in control. If we do this the right way, right, we're only really concerned about our team.
It doesn't really matter who I play. I just need to defend our dirt, or in this case, my iPad, which is where the game score will be compiled. So I'm interested in defending my iPad. Defend your iPad.
I have a lot of AJ Green.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing this week. I my team is in sort of disarray a little bit because I've got, like, Rex Burkhead, and he's questionable. Like, I'm not in great shape here. This Le'Veon Bell pick so far is haunting me because that's my that's my best running back, and he's not playing. So I've got McCoy. I went early on a second, sort of at least pretty well thought of running back.
Third round, right?
Right. And then from there, it was just like sort of fill in. So my options beyond McCoy aren't great, and one of them's got a concussion in Rex Burkhead. So I'm on the ropes already. Not good.
I think I'm not worried about Burkhead physically. Like, he was limited in practice. Concussion, what? You're not doing anything.
Right.
And so he's not doing anything. He's participating in practice. The thing is, like, it's the matchup and the usual sort of New England confusion James White or even Sony Michel now. Like, what? Jeremy Hill is out. I mean, what that's going to be. But Burkhead starts for you, right? I mean, I think he starts for you.
Assuming he's active, yes. I mean, I'm going to monitor that Sunday morning, and if he's expected, that's a 4 o'clock game, 4:25.
4:25.
If he's expected to play, I will plan on having him in the lineup. Tariq Cohen is my fallback there, and he doesn't play till Monday night.
I have mentioned a lot that I have a lot of teams, and I have been happy to take ribbing. It's kind of an experiment. How much can one person handle and not, like, sacrifice important parts of their life? I've been writing about that on the website and did so again today. Also a little bit on draft strategy, because everybody's big point in draft strategy was pretty much you got to get your running back. And if you didn't, you would be in trouble. You'd be in trouble with who? Odell Beckham and Michael Thomas, or Keenan Allen, or Julio Jones. That doesn't really seem like trouble right now. Gronkowski. Like, these guys all had good or great first games. Look at the running backs you picked over them, or someone could have. And I did at times. Fournette. Hurt. Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
No show. Elliott. Concerns. Kamara looked good. So, Bell isn't on the field. Bell was a number one or two overall pick everywhere until, like, the last week. So maybe having the courage, if you will, to draft Antonio Brown or these other wide receivers was beneficial. And, you know, somebody else drafted those running backs instead. McCaffrey, kind of a bummer of a first game. McCaffrey, but They're not benefiting yet. You're not benefiting yet if you did that. Right now, you'd rather have Michael Thomas and Keenan Allen. How'd you lose? How could you have lost last week with those two guys as your starters? They're both monster games. So Melvin Gordon was good. Those guys will be here this weekend. Anyway, just sort of exploring that, and I may have one more draft actually coming up.
Oh my God!
That I'll certainly tell you about if
what is wrong with
that
you?
Happens.
Yeah. Well, I hope that goes well.
I feel like I need one more. Thanks. Mm-hmm. So Tops is here. And we are going to take a time out and go over and do Facebook Live for a few minutes and then come back. We'll be back here on time. But we're going to hang out with Tops a little bit. They've got some tailgating ideas, recipes. They brought in some food. And if you want to follow that on Facebook Live, please do at WGR. And we'll be back for our listeners, for you, just like we never did that. if you just hang in there through the break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio joins us at 5 here on WGR.
Still stand by the fact that I like Tyrod Taylor, even though he no longer is Tyrod. The alternatives are there. And again, long term, I think Josh Allen's going to be great. I like him a lot. I don't like him in the role this early because I just worry that things could go real bad, and I don't want to see that happen into a guy that I think has Carson Wentz type ability and maybe even a better arm.
John Clayton, he's struggling with the Tyrod. He feels like it should go to an end now.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
Tyrod Taylor, that's good enough for me, but
yeah,
I hope I'm not being offensive or anything, calling him Tyrod Taylor.
No.
John will do it his way. He's done it his way for decades.
Got him to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
That's right.
I think he doesn't need name advice from us.
Far from it.
Even if he is wrong.
Nick is on WGR. Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, so I don't know what I regret more, flying to Baltimore for the opener or starting McCoy and Benjamin on my first week of fantasy. They were both pretty rough week for me. But just a couple things. I guess I 100% agree with you guys. I think Peterman does no good on our roster. I would love to do something with the Jets have done. I have a veteran who's been around for years who can kind of take Allen through week by week, you know, the film session, get him prepared. I think keeping Peterman would be like the equivalent of the Jets keeping, you know, Bryce Petty or Hackenberg as their backup. It just makes no sense.
That's a pretty good point. I mean, that's a pretty good comparison. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes no sense having someone you can't rely on or at least can't show him, you know, what NFL, you know, week to week is like. And then I guess the only thing I'm concerned with this year is not our record. It's not, you know, if playoffs, I think that's kind of the question. I mean, you never know, but still, I think we're just our talent on this roster, we have so much dead cap, we weren't able to put a competitive roster together. The only thing I care about is Allen week to week. Is he getting better? Is he progressing? Is the game slowing down for him? I just want by the end of the year, is this going to be our guy? Nothing else matters to me. I think even if you're looking at it from a statistical standpoint, I think our offensive line, our receivers, arguably the worst in the NFL. I think it's going to be hard for him to just tear it up every week. I just want to see if he's getting better. And I guess Edmonds too. Those are supposed to be hopefully the cornerstones of our offense and defense. A lot of those guys are getting better next year when we have the cap, have the draft picks. If we have those two guys and they both look like the future of our team, I think we're in good shape. If not, then some trouble, I think. So I think that's all I care about is just Allen being our guy. So
thank you, Nick.
That is absolutely where I am. I was there last November. I mean, it's funny, like the last guy that called us before the break, talking about the drought ending and like the timeline sort of being all over the place. I mean, that's been something that we've been focusing on going back to them being in a playoff race last year in McDermott and Bean's first year here. Like, it's not going to really line up. Some fans might not be ready for that. And all of it just doesn't really make sense. Like, I remember thinking last year when Peterman went in, ultimately, like, push comes to shove, why do I support that move? Because I need to find out if I've got a better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor on my team, and I'm not that worried about the drought ending because I'm pretty convinced that I'm not doing anything substantial with him as my quarterback, even if I make it. Now, as it turned out, of course, the drought ending was memorable, and we all felt great for Kyle Williams and, like, the whole team and the city and everybody that went to Jacksonville. I mean, it was incredible, and I undervalued that in November. But ultimately, what is it really worth? It's nice having the cloud lifted, yes. But they had to get better there, and that's what this is now about. And the timeline being sort of jumbled is a part of that. It sort of makes the fan base susceptible to being a little schizophrenic. You know, I want to support the kid. I'm willing to live with some growing pains, but I was 9-7, and usually that means I should be getting better, right? Like I'm in the playoffs. Shouldn't I try to win a game now? Once I get to the playoffs again, and that's not likely with the way they chose to do this.
Yeah, well, the best way to get there, to do that, would be to revamp your big plan and keep Tyrod Taylor and do more for him. And, you know, you're signing a couple veterans. You kind of did that anyway defensively, but they did have some unforeseen problems like Eric Wood. But that would have been the best way to do that. And why didn't they do that? Because you've got new people who I think in a perfectly reasonable way wanted their own guy. They wanted their own vision to come to fruition here. And maybe it will. So this year was, you know, a long shot. And, I mean, it really, really was, and it's got more of one, I guess. More people are now thinking this way. I saw that odds to win the AFC championship, Oakland is the second highest at 50-1, and the Bills are 200-1. I mean, an expansion team would be about that, maybe right. Even lower. Wow. So that's just like you're way behind. You're way at the bottom as mm-hmm. far as the betting, the action goes. Sal Capaccio next. Bills Roundtable. This is Football Friday on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.